Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Imagine that you're building your dream home and that money is no object. All right? Some of you, I can already see the thoughts that are in your mind. Maybe some of you would say, I want a big theater room. Or I want a great place outside to entertain on a patio with a gas grill. Somebody might say, give me a 3-car garage. Or maybe even a 4-car garage, because that fourth one is going to be extra tall to house my camper during the wintertime. Maybe some of you ladies would say, no, I want a huge walk-in closet. Or I want also a huge walk-in pantry right off the kitchen to store everything. I know my wife, she'd take those really incredible kitchen cupboard organizers. You know, the kind like when you buy your cans in the store, you put the one on top and it rolls to the back and comes out the front so they're in the right order. You don't have to rotate your stock. I mean, she would really get into that. How many can picture some things you would want in your dream home, huh? I see many hands up in the air. Here's the thing. Whenever you're building a house and you get to design it, you have a purpose for the design. It's not just random. You just don't do things because of whatever without giving it any thought. You think about it. You're intentional. You're purposeful. There is a reason for how you build, for how you design. And this morning, we're going to be talking about something as we continue our series of Pursue His Presence, which is our theme for 2024. We're talking about how do we pursue more of the presence of God. I want to welcome everyone in the house. It's good to see each and every one of you. Also, those of you who are online joining us today, thank you for being with us. And today, for the next few weeks, as we talk about pursuing the presence of God, we're going to be looking at the tabernacle of God. In week one of our series, we talked about how Moses went up on the mountain and God gave him this design, this architectural plan to build a tabernacle. And then later, that tabernacle became the temple. And then in the New Testament, God says, I live in a temple not built with the hands of men. It's not made out of sticks and stones. It is in the hearts of people. As Christ followers, we are the temple of God. And here's the thing that I want you to realize. When God built the tabernacle, when he gave that to Moses back in Exodus, there were certain aspects of the design, certain pieces of furniture, certain things in the plan, and each one, there was a purpose for it. Those aspects of the temple are to be included in our lives as the temple of God. They are to be part of our lifestyle. They're also how we can approach God in prayer. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at the very first aspect as we go on these next few weeks, as we talk about how do we pursue the presence of God. In your notes this morning, as temples of the Spirit, the tabernacle's design is a picture of our intended lifestyle. It's a picture of our intended lifestyle. The things that God had in the tabernacle are supposed to be in this tabernacle as believers. Also, it's a pattern for developing prayer. If you do not know how to pray, you feel like I really don't know how to pray, these next few weeks we're going to give you keys of how do you pray, how do you approach God and enter into the presence of God. The tabernacle, we're going to show a picture up here. It was walled off with curtains. Maybe we'll show a picture. Do we have that picture? We don't have the picture. All right. The tabernacle was actually smaller than this room. It was about 150 feet. It was a little bit longer, but it was 75. It was about approximately, it was close to our width, but a little bit bigger. It was this temple was walled off. And then you had a brazen altar that they would make sacrifices on. And then there was a laver that they would wash up afterwards. And then you would have the holy place, which is kind of like a tented box. We're going to look more at all those pieces next week. But before we look at any of those, we first need to look at what David said about entering into this courtyard area. In Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5, David said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. David says, as we're going to start this journey of coming into the tabernacle, as we're going to start to come close to the presence of God, the very first thing we do is we enter with praise and thanksgiving. We're blessing God. Praise and thanksgiving are where we start. In your notes this morning, the starting point in pursuing the presence of God is gratitude. You need an attitude of gratitude. Why is gratitude so important? Because if you and I are not grateful, we probably are not going to praise and worship God. We're probably going to grumble. Have you ever felt like life's against you? You feel like you've been beating your head up against the wall. You feel like you've been under attack of the enemy, or things just aren't going well. You're encountering health problems, financial problems, relational problems. In the midst of these difficult times, do you feel like praising God? Many times we don't, because we focus on the problem and we're not focusing on God and all that he's done for us. So when there's no gratitude, we're probably not going to praise and glorify God. If we're not grateful, we're not going to make room. We talked about we need to make room and deny ourselves. But if we are not going to be grateful, we're not going to make room and deny ourselves, because we're going to feel, you know what, God, you owe me. Why should I deny myself? I'm entitled to more. If we don't have this attitude of gratitude, if we're not grateful, there's no motivation to live a holy life, because it doesn't matter anyway. God, why should I be holy? Why should I do the right thing? Because many times when you do the right thing, it feels like you get penalized for doing the right thing. If we're not grateful, and we talked about this last week, we're not going to live on margin and on mission. We're not going to live with margin in our life if we're not grateful. We're going to try to fill something because we feel we don't have enough. So gratitude is how we enter the presence of God. For you and I, why should we be grateful? In verse 5 in David's psalm, he gives us three reasons of this psalm 104. He said, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures for all generations. Here's what I want you to realize. Your gratitude is centered on what you think about God. Your gratitude is centered. It's based on what you think about God. If you think God is good, you'll be grateful. If you think God's being bad to you, if you think God is not being merciful, he's being mean, he's being unkind, if you feel that God is not being true, that, well, God says this in the Bible, but I'm not experiencing this, it's a bunch of lies, you're not going to be grateful. Realizing that God is good, he's merciful, loving, and kind, and that he is true, that is what produces gratitude in our lives. And the devil is attacking us all the time to make us feel that God isn't good, that God isn't all that great. He's attacking us to make us feel God's not loving, he's not kind, God's not true. When Satan tempted Jesus, it's like, did God really say this? You know, that's what Satan did to Adam and Eve in the garden. Did God say this? The devil wants you to doubt the goodness, the love, and the truth of who God is. We need to be people of gratitude. In your notes, I want to share with you some gleanings on gratitude. And first of all, I want to talk about gratitude in our prayer life. How do you develop a prayer life? The very first thing we need to do is to start prayer with thanks and praise. When you start to pray, usually a good pattern to start with is with praise and thanksgiving. Now, there might be some times when you're so overwhelmed, so burdened with something, you just come to God and you just let it all hang out. I mean, have you ever felt so overwhelmed sometimes? You just come to God and you just start crying out. Maybe you're actually crying, or you're yelling at God. You're just asking for help. It's okay to do that. But generally speaking, it's good to start with praise and thanksgiving. The reason is, when we praise God, we're taking our eyes off our circumstances. We're taking our eyes off our problems, and we're directing them towards God. We're looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. So many times we live with an earthly, temporal perspective, and we don't see a heavenly, eternal perspective. Praise and thanksgiving helps us to enter in to the courts of God and begin to see God for who he really is, that he is good, he is merciful, and he is true. That's the power of praise. It creates a new perspective. It gives us a true paradigm of life. Instead of what we think is happening, we begin to see what God truly is doing. Praise and thanksgiving recalibrates our souls. It recalibrates our thoughts and our emotions. It helps us to see God and to experience his love. How do you praise God? I'm going to give you some practical ways. They're there in your notes. One of the things I do almost every morning is I will get out my smartphone and I'll pick a worship song. I Google it, it comes up, and then I will sing with that song. Maybe I'm kneeling, maybe I'm standing, maybe I'm raising my hands, and I am just praising and worshiping God. Maybe I'll do a second song, a third song. But so many times, if you're having a hard time praising, find someone who is praising and let their praise lead you into God's praise. Worshiping God is a great way with song to enter into his presence. I encourage you to do that. Another way to praise God is to write things down from yesterday that you're thankful for. God, I'm thankful that that car that ran the red light, that I saw the car and I didn't pull out into the intersection. God, I'm thankful that I found out that I thought my Honda Civic, when it turned 100,000 miles, I was going to have to spend $1,300 to get a new timing belt. I found out that it's a timing chain. I don't have to spend that money. Thank you, Jesus. You saved me $1,300. God, I'm thankful for food that I have. I'm thankful when it's 30 below that our furnace is working and it's working really well. Write down things that you're thankful for. So many times, God is active in our lives, but we don't recognize his activity. When's the last time you thank God for your eyesight? When's the last time you thank God for your hearing? When's the last time you thank God for your taste? Maybe some of you say, man, I wish COVID took my taste away because then I wouldn't like sweets so much and I'd lose some weight, you know. When is the last time you thank God, I want you to think about this, for your elbows? Those who are in our destiny class, we talked about each of us, we're a part of the body of Christ, and we use the illustration of elbows. Think about waking up this morning and your elbows don't work and you try to turn off your alarm without bending your elbows. Think about taking a shower and, you know, how do you wash your hair and your body? You're good from about the thighs on down. How do you shave? How did you do your hair this morning if your elbows didn't bend? How did you eat breakfast? I mean, you could get it on the table, but then you got to lean over and you got to kind of look like a, you know, an animal eating out of a trough. Driving the church, if you were writing a check or writing a note, you're taking sermon notes right now, if you didn't have your elbows, do you realize how awesome it is to have elbows? Can you thank God for your elbows right now? You can find something to thank God about, even if you feel there's not a lot of good going on in your life. Another way that we can praise God is praise his attributes. What are some of the attributes of God? Just throw them out to me. What are they? Faithfulness, loving, forgiving, merciful, provider, okay, he provides. He redeems us. He forgives us. Yeah. So call out these attributes. God, I thank you that you're all powerful. You can work out any difficulty that I'm experiencing in life. God, I thank you that you're all knowing. You know what needs to happen in my life, and I thank you that you give me counsel. You give me wisdom. God, you are all wise. You know what I need. Just think of the attributes. God, you've been faithful to me. God, you've been good. You call out the attributes of God, and then something that's very similar to that is you meditate on the names of God. You meditate on the names of God. He is my shepherd. You think about what that means. Shepherds, they would take their sheep to green pastures and lead them beside still waters. God provides for us. He guided them. He leads us. He comforts them. God is a rock. When you're going through a storm, you can stand on him and be stable. He is a mighty fortress. The Bible talks about that. So he is walled around us. He's protecting us. He's shielding us. The Bible also says he's a shield. God is watching over you. He's your provider. He is your banner of victory. He is your healer. When you meditate on the names of God that are in Scripture, and what does that mean? And here's the thing. Meditation is not sitting on the ground, crossing your hands, and going om and emptying your mind, okay? That's Eastern meditation, and the devil took biblical meditation and has distorted it. Meditation, the true meditation, is meditating on who God is. What God has done. It's thinking about God. It's filling your mind with God, not emptying your mind so some spirit guide can come and tell you what to do. We need to meditate on the names of God. And then one last way to practically praise is to sing in the Spirit. To sing in your prayer language. If you're baptized in the Spirit and you speak in tongues, you can sing in tongues. The Apostle Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. He says, I'm going to sing with my understanding. I'm going to know the songs I'm going to sing, but I'm also going to sing in the Spirit. I'm going to pray with my understanding, but I'm also going to pray in the Spirit. Friends, when we pray and we sing and worship in the Spirit, it brings us into the presence of God because the Holy Spirit prays through us and worships through us and talks to God for us. So those are practical ways to pray. And at the close of our service, we're not going to rush out of here. We're going to take a little bit of time, and we're going to practice praising God. For some of you who've never really praised him before, this may be a new experience, but I pray that God plants something in your heart today because you don't realize the power of praise. Praise needs to be part of our life because praise and thanksgiving flow out of a heart of gratitude. If we are a grateful people, we will praise and thank God. So that's gratitude and prayer. Let's talk about now, gratitude is a lifestyle. And I want you to turn to Psalm 145. This is what we're going to look at as we talk about how do we make gratitude part of our life. And the first thing I want us to realize in your notes this morning is that gratitude is a choice. Gratitude is a choice. We're going to show these verses up on the screen, Psalm 145, verses 1 through 3, and I want all of us to read them together, okay? Let's go. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Notice David said, I will praise the Lord. I will bless and praise his name. Grace, God's gratitude is a choice. Praising God is a choice. If you wait to feel like praising God, you won't. When you're at a low point, if you wait, you won't do it. But David said, I will praise the Lord. I choose to do it. I'm going to be deliberate. And he said, I can praise him daily. I can praise him forever. Why? Because his greatness is unsearchable. In other words, if you start thinking and meditating about who God is and all the great things he's done for you, you would never come to an end if you really took the time. And I don't think we can do that. We'll do it in heaven. We'll praise him forever in heaven because we're going to be just made perfect and glorified in heaven. But we need to be praising God, and it is a choice. When you get up in the morning and you don't feel like talking to God and having your devotions, you don't feel like praising him, you need to praise him any day. Anyway, as you walk throughout your day and something bad happens and you don't feel like praising God, anxiety and fear grab hold of you, or anger and angst grab a hold of you, or maybe bitterness because someone hurt you, someone betrayed you. In the midst of that, praise God and begin to thank him for something good he's done. Matthew Henry, he was a great theologian back in the 17th and 18th centuries. And once he was walking down the street and he was robbed, and the thieves took everything of value that he had on him. Later that night, this is what Henry wrote in his diary. "I'm thankful that during these years, I have never been robbed until now." Isn't that an interesting way to look at it? He's focusing on all the times he hadn't been instead of just what happened today. He goes on to say, "And although they took my money, they didn't take my life. And all they took, all I had on me, it was not much. Finally, I'm grateful that it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." That's powerful. We can always find something to be grateful about. It just depends on what we're thinking about. What are we focusing on in our minds? Romans 8:28 says, "We know that some things," no, "all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Friends, gratitude is a choice, something that you and I deliberately intend to do with our lives. It's not a feeling. Let's go on to the second note about gratitude as a lifestyle. How do we make gratitude as a lifestyle? Number two, gratitude should be communicated. Gratitude should be communicated. We should talk about the goodness of God, about God's activity in our lives. Let's read verses 4-7 together. "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness." What are we talking about when we're with people? Are we talking about the sub-zero temperatures? Are we talking about how lousy our team played last Sunday and they stunk up to high heaven? You know I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. What are we talking about? You know, and I'm not saying we're only so holy, we only talk about spiritual things. But how much are we talking about the goodness of God, about what God's doing in our life? Or do we go through our days really just kind of putting God on a shelf after we leave our prayer closet, and we're thinking about everything else, our busyness, what's going on, this, that, our cold, our sickness, our finances, whatever it is we've been watching? God needs to be talked about. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So look at your speech. How much are you talking about the greatness of God? How much are you talking about the goodness of God? Because what comes out of your mouth means that's what's filling our hearts. God's greatness, it needs to be communicated. Our gratitude needs to be talked about. Worry is meditating on our problems. And in verse 5 we read, it says, "I will meditate on your wondrous works." Some of us are meditating on the wrong things. We're meditating on how bad it could be or how bad it is now. But we need to meditate on the wondrous works of God. So as we meditate, what do we think about? That brings us to point number 3 in your notes this morning. Gratitude abides in Christ's love, not one circumstance. Gratitude abides in Christ's love, not in our circumstance. As we go through our day, we're aware of how loving God has been to us. We let the Holy Spirit reveal how he's been protecting, guiding, helping, caring for us, the things he wants to say to us, how he maybe wants to encourage someone else. We don't focus on our circumstances. Now realize, I'm not saying that we act like they don't exist, that we pretend like we have no problems. No, I'm not saying being unrealistic and denying reality, but I'm saying what consumes your thoughts. It is so easy for our problems to consume our thoughts instead of God to consume our thoughts. But we need to focus on Christ's love that abides with us and it never leaves. Let's read verses 8 through 12 in Psalm 145. It says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to..." Okay, I can't hear you out there, all right? Are you awake with me this morning? Okay, let's read this like you mean it. Let's start over, okay? "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." Friends, God's love is steadfast. That means it never quits. God's love never quits on you. It never runs out. It is always there. He shows his mercy to everyone. God is slow to anger. He's abounding in loving kindness. He cares about us. What happens to us so much of the time is when we have a problem, we focus on the problem, and our life is like a roller coaster. It goes down low. But then something good happens, and we think about that, and we feel good. But then something bad happens, and then something good happens, and something bad, and good, and bad, and good. And we're a roller coaster. Our emotions are going all over the place. But if we think about the goodness of God, even though we might have bad and good, it's going to level out because we're focusing not on the roller coaster, but we're focusing on the Creator, the one who loved us, our Redeemer, who gave his life for us. You see, there may be some of you here today that you've never experienced the love, the forgiveness, the grace of God. Do you realize God wants a relationship with each and every one of us? Every person in this room, everyone watching online, everyone outside of doors, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. There might be some of you here, you'd say, "Craig, you don't know what I've done." The Bible says God is slow to anger. He's abounding in loving kindness. There is no sin that you and I have committed that God can't forgive. Jesus saves us to the uttermost. That means no matter how low, how bad we've been, Christ can forgive us, he can wash us clean, and he wants to give you and I a relationship, a friendship with God. God knows that we don't deserve mercy. This verse talked about the grace and mercy. Mercy is undeserved pardon. Someone does something wrong and they deserve to be punished. Grace is undeserved favor, undeserved blessing. God extends both mercy and grace to us. The wages of sin is death. All of us deserve to die and to go to hell and spend eternity in hell. But God is merciful. Jesus came and he died. He took our sin, and by Christ taking our death penalty, God says, "I'm not going to make you spend eternity in hell. I'm going to give you everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God wants to pardon you from all of your sin, and God wants to give you his grace, a relationship, his favor, his blessing, his acceptance, his love, his plan for your life. God is gracious, loving, merciful, and kind. And for you and I to experience the grace and mercy of God, We need to recognize that we're sinners and repent of our sin. We turn from our sin. We say, God, I realize that I deserve to go to hell. God, I realize that I should have died in the place of Jesus, but he took my place. I'm sorry, please forgive me. I want to follow you. You surrender the leadership of your life to Jesus Christ and let him be your leader, your boss. And this morning, before we go on, I would like everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes, because I want to give every person here in the house and those watching online an opportunity to encounter the grace and mercy of God. Because when you become a Christian, when you say, Jesus, I want to follow you, God gives you his Holy Spirit. He comes and lives inside of you, and the presence of God draws near. And I want you to have the nearness of God in your life and know him the way he intended you. So this morning, with no one looking around, how many would say, you know what, I realize today I need God's forgiveness and leadership in my life. I'm not following Jesus. I'm not right with God. If I died today, if something happened to me, I wouldn't go to heaven. Or maybe you're not sure if you'd go to heaven. If you're here and you want to be forgiven and you want to surrender control of your life to Jesus and say, God, I want you to lead me, I'd like you to raise your hand this morning. No one looking around. It's a moment between you and God. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else today? Thank you. I see that hand on the side. Anyone else? God's knocking on the door of your heart saying, I want you to enter a relationship with me. I want you to experience my love, experience my presence. Anyone else today? For those who are watching online, if you know that you need God's forgiveness and leadership wherever you're watching us, just put your hand up right now. Just say, God, I want you. I want you to forgive me. I want a relationship. I want to know you. Anyone else in the house this morning, you'd say, that's me. I want to be forgiven. I want to follow Christ. I want to give him my life. Anyone else today? I'm going to say this prayer. I would like each person this morning to repeat after me. I don't want anyone praying alone. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need your mercy and your grace. Please forgive me. Pardon my sin. Give me your love. I surrender to you. You are now in charge. I love you, Lord. Help me to live for you. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate with those who just entered into a relationship with Jesus today? Amen. For those of you who you just received Christ in your life, I want you to do something. There is a card in front of you, the welcome card. Fill out the top half, and about halfway down it says, I received Christ today. I'd like you to check that box, and then when service is done, as you go get your coffee and cookies, to go to the welcome table. There's a banner there. It says, welcome. We've got a book that is going to help you begin to grow in a relationship with Jesus. Also, if someone brought you today, someone who attends Radius, tell them. And if you brought someone and they said, hey, I received Christ, you make sure they get to that table and they get that book today. All right. So God wants us to be in a relationship with us. And I wanted to look at this last point now. Look at point number 4. Gratitude remembers God is in control. That God is close by and eternity is ahead. How many are glad that this earth is not our home? This is not our final resting place, but we have a home in heaven. But until that happens, God is sovereign. He's in control. And God is close to you, even when you don't feel he's close. For those of you who just received Christ today, I guarantee there'll be times when you feel like God's not near you. And for some people, I know when they receive Christ, they have this emotional experience. All of a sudden, they sense the nearness and the presence of God. But there's some people, they can't tell anything different. Here's the thing. Salvation's not based upon your feelings. It's not based on your feelings. It's based on the fact of faith that Jesus loves you, He died for you, and if you put your trust and your love in Him, He'll save you from your sin, and you've got a relationship with Him. And God is near you. Let's read this last portion of Scripture. We're going to finish out the chapter starting in verse 13, Psalm 145. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all His words and kind in all His works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food in due season. You open Your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. Did you catch what verse 18 said? The Lord is near to all. Verse 21, the very last verse, David ends this psalm the way he begins it. He said, I will bless the Lord. I choose to worship. I choose to give thanks. Look what he says in verse 21. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. Who's all flesh? That's every one of us. Turn to your neighbor and say, God created you to praise Him. I want you to stand to your feet this morning, because that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to praise the Lord. Psalm 149, verse 6 says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. I want us to begin to lift our voice to God this morning. I'm going to kind of guide you through different aspects of those ways to praise God. But I just want you to begin to praise Him first and foremost. You might say, you don't know how bad my week is. You don't know what's happened to me. Friends, there is one thing the devil can't do to you, and that's take your salvation away. If you've got nothing else to praise God for, you can praise Him for your salvation. So I want us to do that right now. Jesus, we praise You for saving us from our sin. Thank You for dying on the cross. Oh Lord, You suffered so horribly. Nails were driven in Your hands and Your feet. You were beaten, You were battered, You were bruised, and You did it so that I could know God. You did it so I wouldn't suffer in hell. And I worship You. I thank You for that. Oh, thank You, Jesus. I want you to begin to thank Him for how you came to know Christ. Lord, I thank You for those people that talked to us. I thank You for those people that invited us to church. Lord, I thank You for the miracles You've done in our lives. Lord, I thank You right now for Barb Eklund, our neighbor down the street, who invited my mom to go to church. I thank You, Lord, for a church that prayed for me when I had allergies. And I thank You, Jesus, that You healed me supernaturally. God, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be with You today. I thank You, God, how You've organized and ordained the circumstances of my life so that I could know You. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for giving me a home in heaven. God, thank You that You're near to me, even when I don't feel You're near to me. God, I thank You for Your goodness to me. I want you to begin to think of the attributes of God and begin to praise the attributes. God, I praise You for Your faithfulness. Oh, God, Hebrews says, You never leave us. You never forsake us. Oh, the Lord is my helper. Of whom shall I be afraid? God, You've been faithful. Thank You, God, for watching over me. God, thank You for being my protector. God, for keeping me from harm. Oh, Jesus, thank You for being kind, for answering my prayers. God, there have been so many prayers You've answered in my life. And God, I thank you for the prayers you haven't answered because you had something better. Thank you for being all-knowing to know when I should have what I want and when I shouldn't have what I want. I thank you that you're all-powerful. God, that you can take what looks like defeat and failure and you bring victory and joy and hope out of it. God, you're an awesome God. I magnify you today, Lord. God, I thank you for your patience. God, you're so patient with me. God, I mess up so much. But God, you're patient, you're loving, you're kind, you're forgiving. Thank you for that, O Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I want to begin to just thank you for all you've done. I want you to thank him for some prayers he's answered in your life specifically. God, I thank you for healing my wife, Rebecca, when she couldn't walk on her own. God, I thank you for providing for college for all of my kids. God, I thank you for providing vehicles for us when we've needed them. God, you've been faithful. God, I thank you for giving us a great house when we moved here 14 years ago. You helped us find our home in 2 weeks and helped us to close and get in on time. God, I praise you. God, I see your hand working through my life over and over and over. God, I thank you for those times, even in my childhood. God, when I was abused by others, God, you didn't let my heart get hard. You helped me to stay open to you, God. God, I thank you. You've been a faithful friend to me, Lord. Oh, you're good, God. I want you to call out the names of God and praise him for who he is. Lord, I thank you for being a rock. That in those stormy times, God, when the waves of my trial are tossing me to and fro like the disciples were on the ship, you're a rock and I'm standing firm and solid. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for being my defender. Lord, I can pray what David has prayed in Psalm 26. Vindicate me, O God, for I've walked in my own integrity. And you have vindicated me, God. You have been my defender when I've been falsely accused. Lord, I thank you for being my provider. God, I thank you, Jesus, for being my good shepherd. Thank you for being my counselor. You've given me advice in making decisions. Oh, God, in what I should purchase and what I shouldn't purchase. God, I thank you for giving me wisdom on who I should marry for my awesome, wonderful wife, that you guided me in that decision, God, 30-some years ago. Lord, I thank you. Oh, you're good, God. You deserve my praise. You deserve my praise, O Lord. Now I just want you to begin to sing a new song to him. If you sing in the Spirit, go ahead and sing in the Spirit to him. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you, O God. You're a beautiful God. You're a mighty God. You've never left me. You've never forsaken me. I love you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for your Spirit who lives inside of me. Thank you for being the comforter, oh God. Thank you for being a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, a Prince of Peace, an everlasting Father. Oh, we magnify you today. Oh, we worship you, oh God. Great is the Lord. Oh God, help us to extol your greatness, your awesome works, to declare your deeds to those around us. You are worthy, O Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. When I was a kid, there was a song we sang, and it said, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Friends, I don't know what you've been looking at, but if you look at your circumstances, you're not going to experience the presence of God, his joy, his peace. You'll have anxiety, fear, frustration, anger, bitterness. Only as I look at the author, the one who started my faith, and the finisher of my faith, the one who's going to finish it in heaven, and I keep my focus on Him, and I think about Him. Gratitude comes. It's centered on what we think about. Only as I think about Jesus, and I go through my days thinking of the goodness of God, can I be a person of gratitude? What are you going to do today? What are you going to do this week? Are you going to do what David said? I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. I will enter His courts with praise. We're going to sing this final song. We sang it earlier, the song called Gratitude. And I want you to lift your hands and praise and worship Him. And maybe there's some of you who'd say, I need prayer this morning for a situation, a circumstance I'm in. Prayer team, would you come right now, slip to the sides? And if you want prayer, come during this song. Worship team, would you lead us this morning?
So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing
Just throw up your hands to him this morning. Oh, we love you, Jesus. You are holy. You are set apart above everything and everyone. And we exalt you above everything and everyone. We worship you. We thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, for saving us, oh God. Lord, help us to be a people of praise, people of gratitude. God, help us to see the goodness of God, how you've always been there. You've never left us or forsaken us. Oh, Jesus, you are awesome. Oh, you're worthy today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Pursue his presence, friends, with gratitude. This week, look for the goodness of God all throughout your day. As you go to him in prayer, start off with praise and thanksgiving. See Jesus for all he's done for you, and don't let the things of this earth get you down, because greater is he who is in you, the temple, than he who is in the world. Amen? Pursue his presence. Pursue his presence. Amen.
Amen. You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.